Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's John, Bam Bam the Dog. First, on behalf of both of us and everybody from the Real Ones team, I just want to sincerely thank you guys for tuning in. The folks that I bring on the show, they're family to me, and being able to tell their stories and bringing you into their world is something that I'm just super proud of, and again, grateful that you guys tune in. We've decided we want to take things just a step further. We're going to introduce a Patreon community, and basically what that means is if you become a part of this community, look, I already bored Bam Bam. If you want to become a part of this community, you're going to be able to hear episodes early and all that, ad-free and all that good stuff. But there's all this behind-the-scenes footage, all this stuff that we've shot that really brings you into the folks that we've had on the show, really brings you into their world. You're going to be able to do live chats with me and the folks that I bring on the show to talk about their world, talk about the issues that they're dealing with, about their triumphs and their tragedies. Just go to Patreon/Real Ones. This whole idea was something about building bridges and bringing people together and bringing folks that often don't get the mic and giving the mic to them. So the fact that you guys tune in means the world. Anyways, again, thank you. Be good to each other out there. Rock and roll. Chase had a mustache until like just the other day. It's really hard to look at him.
Dirty Sanchito.
Fucking mustache, dude. You know what I mean? And he's had like every kind of mustache.
Jules.
Nice to meet you, man.
Fellas.
Thanks, Big Chase. Thank you. That was my he wanted the password to my phone. And yeah, it was my football number. I was number 20, but then I was an asshole and I lost my jersey. And I wore 21 one game. But back in the day, like with like my girlfriend and shit, like we all had pagers. Did you have a pager?
I did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, oh, she was 85 because her name was Tatiana Lamia. So that's 8 and 5. That's a T and an L.
Yeah.
So we would do 85, 28. But then when I started wearing 21, I had to go 85, 21.
85, 20. Yeah. Mine was always 21-44, Deion Sanders and Tom Rathman.
Wow.
Those are my numbers. Like,
wow.
I love those guys. And then with the pagers, I always remember, you know, your girlfriend had a pager, you'd 143 or love you.
I love you.
4-5-9. Mom would hit you with a 911, get your ass home.
Yeah, dude.
You know, so the pager game was
fucking A.
How old are you?
I'm 46.
See, I'm 36. We're almost in that world.
Yeah. So you were probably doing a pager in like middle school. Yeah, see, mine was high school.
Yeah,
ours was like high school meet up at the payphone. Yeah, I mean payphones and pagers were like the whole.
That was it, man.
That was the
deal.
You
guys had that bulky black pager, like the Pac Bell. By the time it was with me, we had little color ones. Little blues
and shit.
What I mean? You just slide it out.
Yeah. I mean, the clear one. And did you keep your money and shit in there? Did you like in the clip?
Yeah.
Was it like your wallet and everything?
Everything.
Yeah.
My wallet is still just a rubber band.
Oh, that's cool. I rolled like that for a long time too.
Yeah. It's easy. You wear these skinny jeans. You can't have a fucking...
You know what I'm saying? Man, I really appreciate you doing this. I'm born and raised in DC and I'm a diehard Commanders football team fan. But besides folks that have played for that esteemed organization, you are my favorite football player and for many reasons. And I have like endless admiration for you, dude. And I'm really honored that you're here. It's like you're the first person I've sat down with that I can say and I would say in like the last decade, since I saw David Hasselhoff at Comic-Con, that I'm literally fucking starstruck, bro. You pulled up, I was like, it's fucking Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
That feeling's cool. Super mutual, man. I've been watching you since Walking Dead, all your roles in Wolf of Wall Street, The Punisher was sick. And, you know, it's cool to be here. And that feeling is super mutual, man.
I appreciate you. And this area, you know this area. It's changed a lot, huh?
A lot.
Yeah.
I lived here in 2010 and 11 in the off seasons over like Driftwood, which is like 3 blocks from Washington on the, you know, Marina Del Rey side, which, you know, we lived in this condo with like 5 guys. It was like an opium den sharing fucking bedrooms with mattresses on the ground and shit, and
all guys from all Patriots.
No, these are some high school friends.
Oh, high school friends. Nice. Fuck yeah!
You know, I originally came out here. You know, it's pretty well documented, but Tom Brady used to live out here.
Yeah,
and you know, I was we're represented by the same guys in the agent world and all that shit. And you know, you always heard the stories about TB throwing with Welker and Moss in LA, and you know, you have Gronk come out here. So, you know, after my first year, I was like, yo, Steve, my agent, you know, I was like, give me a place in LA and let Brady know I'm going to be out there.
Yeah.
Just in case he wants to throw. Yeah, you know, yeah. I want to throw with him. I want to be around him.
And you did that like multiple years. You were just like trying to get his attention, trying to be like, yo, I will be your dude.
I just wanted to be available.
That's right.
You know, because I mean, I was still like a slapdick at the time. I had some run and some burn my rookie year, but, you know, there was Wes Welker and he was a fucking stud.
Yeah.
And I was transferring positions from quarterback to receiver, and I was still learning my game. I was still trying to gain confidence through experience and reps. And, you know, I needed reps. So how do you get reps? You got to be around the guy who's throwing the ball. And, you know, that's all you can ask for is to be around, especially with a guy like Tom Brady, who already had three Super Bowls. You know, he was 35. He was a stud.
Yeah.
For him to give me any kind of time would be, like, insane. And, you know, I moved out here. My first year, he only called me once. Dropped everything, fucking went
out
there.
Where were you when you called?
I love this. I was at a barbecue.
Okay.
I was at a barbecue here in Venice. He's like, yo, hey, babe. Because he's like, he babes every once.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, hey, babe, can you come catch some routes over at UCLA?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Dropped everything, went out there doing, you know, warm-ups and shit. He comes out and he fucking worked me to death.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was like, we must have ran 65, 70 routes, which is a lot. You know, you go out usually in off season, you know, when you're running routes, you probably do, you know, conditioning, you'll hit like 25 to 30 routes afterwards, very specialized and detailed. But, you know, we were over here doing 2 minute drill, going sets of 10, go down, take a minute break, come back. And all that kind of work prepare me, because he was learning my body mechanics and I was learning ultimately what he wanted. You know, if he would yell at me on like an out route, like, yo, dude, you got to get downhill on this, you know, cover four, this, you know, talking football with the guy who's ultimately distributing the football. I think we were both using each other for different reasons. I was using him just to be seen, just to let him know, you know, I'm here.
Sure.
He was using me because he needed to throw the ball. And, you know, you need to throw the ball to moving targets, and especially guys that know your system. You can sit and talk football, and, you know, you're sharpening your brain in the off season when you can sit and talk plays, say, hey, you're the F, zero out, slot, fing, ride 134, F, Bo Ice. You know, you got to – and so, like, we're talking football, so it's helping him stay in shape mentally, physically. And for me, it was like, I was just available.
Yeah.
That was the one thing. Like, I always told him, if you need anyone, I'm there. You know, that I'd drop anything, because, you know, I loved football, and I was, you know, when you get in this like sense of unknown, you know, you get in something new.
Yeah.
You know, I never played receiver. You're like a cornered animal. I was always taught you got to work your way out of it. You got to do everything you can to get out of it. How do you get out of it? How do you get confident? Work.
How would you describe your old man, and how would you describe like what sports, the bond between you and like how sports has played a role?
Yeah, my pop, you know, he grew up without a dad. His dad died when he was three, and he was in and out of trailer parks. Mom, you know, my grandma had like three or four different husbands, and, you know, so it was a different life than what I was. And his dream always was to have a father and have, you know, a relationship with someone that could help him, because he always remembered when he was playing sports, he was a stud, but he was never quite better than the guy that had his dad pushing him, you know? And so that's why he ended up quitting sports to go out, become a mechanic, help his mom. And he learned, you know, ultimately the root of hard work through that process. Now, when he had me, you know, his dream was, you know, to basically give me what he never had. You know, that support system. And I was like a knucklehead. I was a wild kid. And he knew how to handle me. You know, he pushed me very hard. He was very tough on me. This was the 90s. You know, like, this shit's not, you couldn't do
it's
this
not like
stuff
that
now.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned from him through our hard work. You know, we'd practice every day, whether it was football, baseball, basketball. My dad would go to work at 5:30, come home at 4, pick me up before practice. We'd go hit infield, take batting practice. You know, get some extra reps on football, catching balls, throwing balls before practice. Then we go do homework after. He was just always there, you know. And I think seeing his hard work through example of how he worked and then his dedication to the, you know, the kids, me, my brother and sister, you know, that kind of, when you're a kid, you are what you're around.
That's right.
And so when you're around that, you know, I picked that up and, you know, he was always the voice in my head when I then went off without him. I went to college. He was always that voice in my head that was always talking to me because I could always remember the little shit he would do to me. Like when I was taking infields, he'd have my sister like throwing like wiffle balls at me and trying to bug me. And I would get so pissed off and rat. I was a firecracker. And I'd be like, what the fuck? What's going on? He's like,
wait, stop that shit. Yeah, yeah.
He'd be like, you're not going to make it because your mentality, like your mental game's not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like if you can't handle this, what makes you think you can handle other people?
Yeah.
And he would challenge me this like when I was 11 years old, 12 years old.
Right.
And so.
And in the moment, how would that make you feel?
See, I would get pissed off and try to prove him wrong. Like that was me, you know, like he knew what buttons to push with me to piss me off. And that's the kind of person I am. Now, people are different. Some people can't be coached hard. They need to be loved up a little more.
That's right.
You know, everyone's a little different. But with me, he knew that I needed that in order to get pissed off, work hard, focus up, like all these little factors, these fundamentals that have helped me succeed in my life. Like he knew that at a young age.
Did he coach your brother and sister in the same way? Like in the was his style his style or did?
No, his style was his style. He coached my brother and my brother, you know, he couldn't take it as much.
How so?
Yeah, you know, he's just, you know, we're you know, every kid's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
But like, how would it manifest itself?
Yeah, my brother, like he would, I wouldn't say he would back down, but it was a different situation. My brother had a different dad, but my dad raised him and it was just kind of, it was a different situation. He would get hard on my brother and my brother, you know, wouldn't react the way I reacted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my sister was different. By the time he got done with me, she's younger than me. He's like, man, I probably abused this kid. I can't do this to a little girl. So, you know, it was different with her, but you know, it goes to like, for like, especially with parents that coach their kids, you know, you got to know your kid and you got to know what buttons to push. And we fell into the situation with me and him where, you know, I was the kind of kid, if you were to challenge me, like that would fire me up and I wanted to prove someone wrong. I wanted to like, cause he yelled at me or something. He threw a fastball at me. I was just sitting there and I wanted to just like shut his ass up because he was bitching the whole time to me. So it make me focus and I played better angry. You know what I mean? My brother didn't necessarily do that.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So.
And when he was coaching the other kids on the team, cause he was coaching your peewee team, was he that same way with them? Like was he?
Oh, he was terrifying. Yeah. He was
that guy.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
They were tough. It was a tough group back then. You know, when we played Pop Warner and shit, like it was, you know, it was different. I mean, you got a 33-year-old coach with a dip in and like croakies, like motherfucking these kids.
That's right.
Making us puke. Cause like there's a special formula in Pop Warner. There's like a number of players you wanted because of NPR, you had to play a certain amount of plays.
Right.
If you had like 33
you
guys.
You got to play 12 plays a game.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was
like that special number. So we'd start out with 50 kids and you would try to run these kids until they fucking quit. So you get the team right. You know what I mean? I mean, we won Super Bowls though and shit. Yeah, like we were, I remember going to high school after like Pop Warner thinking it was soft.
Because
of how like disciplined we were. We were well coached.
Yeah.
And it was a testament to, you know, not only my father, but the other coaches along that program.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was it.
Just for like dads out there who, you know, nowadays, there's not like just dropping your kids off at parks and letting them play. Everything's so fucking organized. Everything. It's just a different world. But can you sort of describe or like take me through a time where like things, where you and him were like really coming to a head? Like, did you feel like, I imagine there's days where you felt like you failed or days that he felt he was failing. Like, was it what, and how you guys kind of dealt with that?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, we would fight a lot during baseball. Like my pops, he wanted me to play baseball. I was always naturally a football player. It was just easy.
Yeah.
You know, but like, he's a 5'10" guy. He knew, he did the math. Like this guy's not going to make it to the league. Probably.
Totally, bro.
So he used to push me hard in baseball.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'd be at the fields and like people would drive by and they'd call my dad afterward, like, hey, Edelman, you need to be chill out with your son. You know, and there's a lot of those times. I mean, there was one time where I was like 14 and he fucking was throwing, I was dipping my shoulder and you know, I was a little punk. You know what I mean? I had an older brother who was 7 years older than me.
Right.
I wasn't afraid of anything.
Right, right, right.
I got my ass beat. I wasn't afraid to get my ass beat.
Yeah.
And he brushed me off the plate once and I fucking charged him out on my dad and he one-two'd me right before a game. I go to a game with a bloody jersey and, you know, that's just what it was. And, you know, I had my mom. My mom would always kind of break us up. Like there'd be times where I'd walk home from when we were practicing because I was so mad, crying, pissed off at my dad because he would go hard.
Yeah.
You know, but there wasn't a time where we would have one of those episodes. My dad, he knew when he went over that line.
How did you know that he knew?
Because he would come in later that night.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would.
He'd own it?
He would own it. And my dad's a very, like, he's a tough guy, but he's a very loving guy.
I can see that.
You know, he would come up and, you know, say, hey, buddy, you know, I'm just doing this because I love you. And I want you to have a life that I never had.
That's right.
Kind of mentality, like that whole thing. And, you know, there'd be a couple times he'd be tearing up because he knew he got hard up on me.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what built our relationship. You know, when you're a kid, you're sitting there like, what the fuck's this guy know? What this, that, what, you know, I don't know why we're doing this. But now that I have a child, and when you grow up and when you leave home, you know, that's when you start realizing like, oh, well, you know, that's why he did this.
That's right.
That's why he did that.
That's right.
And you feel more prepared for a lot of things that go on in life other than just sport. You know what I mean? I was always taught that football was a microcosm of life. You know, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be, you know, great times. You got to be real level-minded. You can't get too high. You got to have a short memory on things that go well, the things that go bad. You know, what you put in is what you're going to get out. You know, and all those things that I learned from football, from sport, through my father and his hard coaching, you know, it's prepared me for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying I have all the answers because, you know, he's a big saying guy. And he's like, you know, when you're green, you grow. When you're ripe, you rot. When you think you know everything, you're done. So I'm still continually learning. That's right. I learned that through my father. You know, there's going to be shit that happens. There's mistakes. We're all stupid. We're all human. You do stuff. You just can't do shit two times in a row.
That's
like,
right.
You're gonna make a mistake. Different. You got to learn from things.
That's right.
Like, you know what I mean? So that's what I learned from my pops.
Can you just sort of describe you as a peewee football? I mean, was it just like lights out? I mean, was it like from the second you got out there?
I was eight, my dad was coaching my brother since he was eight.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's 7 years older than me, so I was in diapers on the field and I was the little kid doing all the drills for the coaches. I knew all Coach Mike Giles, Carl Winslow. I knew everyone, like all the coaches. And when I was eight, you know, you're a young kid, you get in, you're young, you know? And then when I got nine, I started getting a little better, you know, the angles and the pattern recognition. I kind of had that already because I was always around the field. And by the time I was like 11, that's when it started, you know, I was getting real good. And then 12, I was like dominant. We went and won a Super Bowl. But then when I hit 13, that's when people started hitting puberty.
Right.
And I didn't hit puberty.
Yep.
I didn't hit puberty until I was like 17, 18.
Yep.
And so that's when it's kind of, you know, it was a blessing in disguise because it taught me. I was always still a stud. I was still one of the baddest dudes on the field. I was just small. And I used to be the fastest guy. Now I could not run anyone because
they're men.
They were men.
That's right.
I could make people miss. I knew how to outsmart people. And that was probably the time where I learned that taught me the most for, you know, playing in the league as a smaller guy. Because once I got to like 5'10", 5'8", 5'9", when I was a senior in high school, it became, you know, then it became like when I was 12 again.
Right.
And I was, you know, dominating. And then I started hitting, you know, becoming a man. And then, you know, that's when it became, you know, like, all right, let's go play some football.
But like, was your, Like, is in your is your whole family fast? Like,
my grandfather on my mom's side was really fast. Mm-hmm. He was an old German bricklayer. Mm-hmm. My dad was real athletic. Like, my dad could, like, he's got real good skill. Mm-hmm. He could throw a football. Mm-hmm. He could shoot real well, swing. But I would say the athleticism comes from my mom.
Got it.
Like,
got it.
Just straight brute strength. I was always a real strong lower body kid. Like, change of direction, speed. That was always, like, my thing. And then just also, like, learning. I knew football. I knew how to set guys up. I knew how to set my blocks up. I knew when guys over pursued to cut back, get back outside. I learned all that because I was around the game for so long.
How are you planning on, like, managing the push-pull of it? How would you give advice to, like, dads out there? Like, what do you think?
You know, it's a learning experience right now because my daughter's playing soccer, you know, and
what kind of sports pop are you?
I can't do anything because everyone knows who I am out there. And every little, you know, so like the parents, I at least feel that they're looking over to see what I see over. So like you got to kind of chill, but inside, I mean, this is like the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Nothing
you
like
see
it.
Progression of your child. Totally. Like this is like my new Super Bowl when I go, and she's 6 years old.
I know. Dude. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
You know what I mean? But it's one of those things where I'm not necessarily going to be like my pop where he pushed me. I didn't have a fucking choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
this was there ever a time where you're like, Dad, I don't want to go to practice or like, I don't want to do this?
Yeah, but not really. Mm-hmm. It was like,
once you got there.
Cause I loved competing, you know, I didn't love the practice with my dad always, but when it was against another kid, that was when I loved it.
Yeah,
because the competition. I loved when you go out and you can, you know, beat another kid in some, like, you know how it is. Yeah. You want that that alpha energy when you're a little fucking kid.
That's right.
I loved that.
That's right.
You know, you wanted to go and show out. People always underestimate you. You want to show them like you ain't. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
That's right.
But with my kid, it's different because now I'm just throwing shit at the wall and, you know, trying to figure out what she loves. And then there's going to be a time if she loves something like a sport of some sort, if she really does love it, then she'll come to me, hopefully. Mm. You know, it's a different generation. You know, it's a different world than what I grew up in. And when that time comes, then, you know, I'll say, well, if you want to do this, we're going to do it right.
You want to go all the way with this? Because I can get you there.
I can get you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd have to be her telling me that in that whole world. You can't push the kids the way I was taught. And like you said, everything's so organized, you know, with everyone specialized.
Yeah.
In everything. Like, I was like the last generation of like a three play sport
everything.
Athlete.
Yeah. Did you play everything in high school?
Everything. I played baseball, basketball, football.
So when you're in baseball, see what position do you play in baseball?
Short.
And so when you're in baseball, you were fucking nasty, weren't you?
I had really good glove. I had some great range.
Can you fucking imagine him playing baseball, dude?
Yeah.
And how about basketball? Are you good at basketball?
I was okay. I was a football player playing basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, I could always get to the hoop. I was athletic. I was quick.
Yeah.
I had great defense. Shoot. I had to live in the gym to shoot. Like, mm-hmm. I was a practice player. I'm a practice player in everything. So, like, you know, I couldn't go shoot right now.
Explain to everyone what that means, man, that you're a practice player in everything. That's amazing.
I would always build my confidence through practice. You know, I needed to practice hard, and I needed to practice a lot because that's what I was brought up doing.
Yep.
That's what my dad did with me every day.
Yep.
And so, like, you are what you are.
Fuck yeah.
And then when I became a man, like, whenever things weren't going the way I wanted in my career, I would just go back to fundamental things of like, all right, now I just got to work my way out of this. Let's go practice something. Let's find out what I have to do to improve. Work hard at that. And that's how you improve. A lot of people just work hard frivolously. They don't know what they have to work hard for to get a result.
That's right.
So that's where that came from is like my pops. I needed to practice. I needed like, and that's also a product of where I was. I was in New England. Belichick is a huge fucking practice guy. Practices were mini games out there. And that's why we were always so prepared. Like a lot of nowadays, you're seeing a lot of sloppy football because they don't fucking practice hard anymore.
Right.
You know, practice is where you get your confidence. Well, there's a lot. That's a loaded question. I mean, the CBA, you know, you can't practice as hard. You can't practice as much. You know, players have more voice now. You know, and when I was a player, you didn't want to fucking practice more. But if you had to practice, you know what I mean? So it's, there's a lot. That's like a double, there's a whole lot of reasons why that's going on. But that's ultimately why I think there's a lot of sloppy football right now. You can't hit in practice. You get a certain amount of padded practices. That's why you're seeing like tackling's terrible, running the football. Little key fundamentals are like atrocious right now because of that lack of practice. But I was a practice guy. You know, you hear stories of, and that was because of the guys like Tom practiced his ass off. Like you'd hear stories of, I played with Brewski a year. And you see these guys that were the leaders that would practice their nuts off. You heard about Rodney Harrison fighting him. Like, that's where you got your shine.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you got your opportunity. You had to earn opportunity. And if you practiced hard and you showed that, and you showed that you weren't making mistakes and you knew what you were supposed to do and you were given the coaching tech, you were doing the coaching techniques, that's when I played my best. You know, and that's when I could sleep the night before a game, when I felt like you had all the answers to the test.
That's right.
You did it already that week's of prep.
What value did playing baseball and playing basketball, what effect did that have you as a football player?
I think you just didn't get burnt out as a kid. Like all these kids now, they just play one sport.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's so much pressure on my kid. Every team, it's like, everything he does, he's playing with kids who just do that. Yeah, I mean, everything, jiu-jitsu, baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
And even football now, they're like, dude, there's spring ball, there's passing league. And he's like, dude, I play baseball, I play basketball. And these coaches, I mean, he's 3 years out of walking around with shit in his diaper. And yeah, there's like, these coaches are like, dude, we need him in here all the time. What the fuck do you need him for? You know what I mean?
But that's the world. That's why these kids are fucking good.
Yeah.
Because the kids that can do it and that don't get burnt out, like, they're just making these tool belts just so damn big.
Yeah.
You know, because the information you have now, like, is incredible. You can go watch your favorite football player, what he does and how he trains on Instagram.
That's right.
Or on YouTube. Like, when I was younger, you heard the folklore of how Jerry Rice trained.
Right.
You know, not everyone did it.
Right.
You know, had to go, you would fucking rent a tape at the library of what Walter Payton used to do, run the hill, and you would go do that. Hill, you know, you had no clue about sports scientists, nutrition.
Yeah.
Now these kids are getting fed this and they're becoming like little machines.
Yeah.
Like, you watch these kids, they develop so fast because they've been working so hard, you know, and that's why the games and all sports are better.
Is that where you think that kind of developed in that time where you were smaller? I mean, still going in the league, you were, I mean, that was always the truth, but I mean, like that time where you felt like all these guys were sort of surpassing you, because is that where that really developed?
Definitely. You know, like I said, I had an older brother and he was 7 years older than me. And, you know, he used to whoop my ass and, you know, I would start all the shit and he would just beat me up and I'd go do it again. And so when I was small, you know, I would get challenged by people all the time because I was a little football player kid. I was still a good football player. Everyone knew who I was.
Yeah.
But people would always try to challenge you, you know what I mean? And I would never back down to a challenge. And, you know, I got my ass beat a bunch of times and I would go fight kids and just hit a kid or whatever. Because everyone thought, you know, I didn't belong or you know, this, you're here because of this or that. And that's really where my chip probably did come from, you know. And then I was kind of a kid that always worried about what was on my plate at that time in my life. Like when I went, you know, I went to high school, you know, I had a late growth spurt. We had a kid, Tyrese Jacks, who was a fucking star stud. I was never the focal guy. There was always other guys and I always had to like prove that why I should be here. And, you know, and then high school ends, I didn't get recruited. All the other guys got recruited. I was still a stud and I was still pissed off. Why didn't I get recruited?
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I was the best football player. I know he was this and that, but whatever. So then I was always so busy trying to like Didn't get recruited. All right, now I'm going JUCO. Now I'm just trying to go out there and ball, you know, the most I can to show people, you know, my talent. Then once I went to junior college, College of San Mateo, I went to Kent State. Kent State came knocking. Never heard of the school. Had to go there and compete against a prototypical quarterback, 6'5" guy, 25-year-old bounce back kid from, you know, the MLB. You know, so I was focused on that in my life. You know, once I beat him out, then it was like, all right, we had a good year, my sophomore year. Now we're just trying to get wins. I'm thinking about how we just trying to get wins. And I never really thought about too far ahead of what where I was at any of my life, because I was always so focused on, you know, trying to prove my worth.
Would you say your pops, and it sounds like maybe your dad and your mom, were sort of right there, sort of like with you in your philosophy, a part of every decision, sort of adding to and helping you with your mindset? Or do you feel like it was just built in?
No, it's definitely a team effort. I mean, yeah, I would go into my parents' room, you know, and I would be crying when I was like 13, yeah. 14, like, Dad, where am I going to grow? I'm fucking 4'11", I'm 5'1". Like, he would look at me and say, hey, buddy, don't worry.
But like, think about what that must have been like for him, man. Because it's like, you know, now the story's fucking told, bro. But like, who knows? You know, like, who knows where it's gonna go? And
he's got, I don't know, man. My pops is, it's crazy. Like, he feels like he planned this whole goddamn thing out.
We went
to Ohio because we wanted to learn how to play in the cold. Then we went to, you know, like, I'm like, all right, Pop, we get it, dude. You know what I mean?
But, I love it, dude.
You know, my dad was always my biggest fan, and he always, you know, he was tough on me, but when I was down, my dad could always bring me up. You know, he always knew how to hit that note to make me get back, you know, because we all have insecurities
of
certain things.
Of course.
When you're trying to get to certain areas and hit certain goals in your life, and you need to lean on certain people. And those were my people, my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister. Like, it was a full family thing. Now, you know, I was definitely a fucking crazy kid that like needed to do it, and I wanted to do it. But there's always a time where you're down and you need someone.
That's right.
And
that's
he was right. The guy that, you know, had a, you know, when I had a bad day at work in the league, you know, when I was my first 3 years, I thought I was getting cut every training camp. And I'd call my pop and he would just sit and pretty much say the same shit, you know, like, you just gotta work on your fundamentals, you know, just relax. Don't get too high. Don't get too low.
Mm.
You know, it's going to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would be here. Mm. No sniveling.
Mm, no sniveling, yeah.
You know, that's one thing he always said. And, you know, then I would get back, you know.
Same shit he's been saying since you were 8.
Same shit he's been saying since I was 8.
It seems like you just have this fucking uncanny thing where, like, the bigger the game, the bigger the pressure, the more you showed up. Like, just like, you know, I mean, not just in the Super Bowls, but like as the seasons, as things became more and more important, as the pressure got higher and higher, it seems, at least from an outsider, from a fan, it's like you became more and more dependable, and like you were that fucking guy. And I guess I'm wondering, like, is you got any idea why that is, man? And was that something, were you like that as a kid?
Yeah. You know, my dad was tough on me, but the person who was toughest on me the most was myself. You know, and whether it was I didn't want to disappoint my dad, or I didn't want to, you know, there was certain, whatever it was, I was always a fucking tough critic. And it goes back to that preparation process. Like, when you practice hard, and when, you know, you go out and you don't have a good play on 7-on-7, and then you have team and you get pissed off about that, and you think it's fucking whatever, but then you have to think back and, all right, I have to have a short memory, got to go back on the track. Like, it was like life or death. Like, I was like that for a long time, that when you get into the certain situations that you've practiced and you've practiced at a high level hard all the time, it was like clockwork, you know what I mean? So I would have to say it would be just the straight competition and the being toughest on myself, you know what I mean? Like, that's the one thing. Yeah, you could have the best game of your life, and I would always still think about that one play.
You fucked up. Yep.
You know what I mean? I could have had a little bit. You were never satisfied. That never satisfaction kind of feeling that you have. you know, like everyone always talks about that fucking catch in Super Bowl, whatever it was, against Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about that play. I think about fresh out of halftime. I was a rah-rah guy, and I dropped a fucking third down, which I would have just kept, I would have kept running. I would have still been running if I would have caught the ball.
Fuck yeah.
You know, that's what I think about. You think about the shit you didn't
do. Are you in that in all? Are you that way in all facets of your
life? All facets of my life. Very hard on myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's something that you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how does that manifest itself? Like, how do you deal with like when failure comes or when disappointment comes? Like, does it come? You staying up at night thinking about it? Does it like what's the dialogue in your head? Like, what do you say to yourself?
Well, you know, everyone has that time where you sulk on something. But then, like, I have my dad in the back of my head. Like, how the fuck do you get out of this? You got to work your way out of it, all right? Let's just get back to fundamentals. You have to have a short memory, whether it's good or bad. I mean, because there's always going to be another rep, or there's going to be another day. Absolutely. There's going to be another play. In any facet of life, there's always something else. You know, the highest of the highs, there's going to be something else.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So, you know, just keeping that mentality, that's what I've always really had, you know, like, in the most adverse situations, when I was my absolute worst, like in a low point of my life, you finally hit that spot where you're like, all right, I'm over this. Now let's get into problem solving instead of, all right, we have the problem. We know the problem. Now how do we get the fuck out of this problem?
That's right.
You know, whether it's, you know, not doing a route right or doing the, you know, how do I make this better? And it comes back into competition. Now you're competing with yourself, you know? So that's how I always get out of shit. I'm competing on just trying to win the day. You know, I learned that in New England also, you know, you're either getting better or you're getting worse.
That's right.
There ain't no fucking standing still. How was your day? Did you get better today or did you get worse? You know, so it sounds simple, but it's hard. And that's what my dad always told me. Life's hard, but it's simple.
That's
you know what you have to do. It's not always easy to do it. You got to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to be disciplined. There's going to be things. But you know what you have to do. Everyone knows what they have to do. It's just not always easy doing it.
You know, that kind of clarity, it sounds like it's like sort of the perfect marriage and the way that you were growing up, the way that you grew up, the things that you accomplished and conquered along the way, and then to go into Belichick, like just to go into that program. Do you think that system doesn't work for some people? Like who clearly there's people that has not worked out for. Why do you think that would be? Do you think there's like some people who like need to kind of lie to themselves or can't stand that kind of honesty?
Yeah. Everyone's different. You know, I can remember, you know, some big name veterans that roll through New England, and, you know, a little later in their career, and they're like, "What the fuck is it? I can't do this."
What specifically can they not do?
Well, you can't follow directions. You know, it's simple. There's a scheme. There's this. This is what they want to see. This is what you should do. It's tough. You have to work hard.
Right.
The day's not easy. This isn't a fucking walkthrough.
That's right.
We're here to fucking compete. It's going to suck.
Yep.
There's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And if you do all that, when it comes to nut cutting time, it's like, all right, let's go play.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A lot of guys, you know, they just, you know, think you could just lace up the cleats and go because that's how it was where they were at or in different areas of their whole life.
They've been celebrated for so long. They just don't know how to respond.
They don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's different. You know, some people need to be loved up. Some people need to be motherfucked. Mm-hmm. Some people, everyone's quite, you know, a little different. Mm-hmm. So it was like a match made in heaven when I went to New England.
Do you think that's the greatest sports town in the country?
I mean, I'm kind of biased. Yeah, I only played there, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Like, they don't really have seasons. They have, like, there's no fall. So it's like baseball, hockey season, football season, or basketball season.
That's right.
And it's a pro sport town.
That's right.
You know, and what separates them is all the pro sports have had a lot of success in this, like, chunk of period that I've been there even before me. You know what I mean? So they love their sports. They're tough people. They're fucking blue collar. They're hardworking people. It's cold. It's miserable in Boston. And that's how a lot of those people are. They love going home after work, putting on the fucking sport channel, watching their game, you know, supporting their team. And that's the tough people they are. And that's the kind of person I grew up around. That's what that's what we were.
That's
you know,
right.
Blue collar people that worked hard, that love sports. You know, so it's a tough place. But I didn't really in New England when you're with you know Coach Belichick and all those guys. Yeah, it's a tough place to play when things aren't going well. But they also, you know, they love their guys, you know, and you don't really get to really experience it as much as you think you would because you're so caught up in the game.
Yeah.
And the coaching staff there at the time, you know, they were so good at making you ignore noise and putting so much on your plate where you couldn't think about anything else. You know, you were thinking about getting your body right. You were thinking about, you know, what the game plan, the install was, what's the third down plan today? What's the red area for tomorrow? Like all these things you were thinking about, you know, so they did a great job of occupying your mind, where you didn't get to see necessarily all the great things and the shitty things of what goes on. And
what was your relationship to the people of that city? I understand you were sort of separated from them.
But it was awesome, man. They embraced me. I was a California kid, went out there and they embraced me and my family. And you know, when you play in Boston, you know, you see the Red Sox, they won a World Series when I was there, and then the Celtics won a championship, and the Bruins won in 2011. There becomes like a competition thing where like, all right, these guys did it. Now we got to go fucking do it because, you know, it becomes like that because, you know, there's a standard. And, you know, I understand what you said when you go to college, there's the rivalry, you know, but like, I tell you right now, I fucking hate the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just how it was because, you know, Boston, New York is pretty gnarly.
Big time.
You know, people get up for it. You know, the Giants, I can respect a little bit about, you know, what the Giants, yeah, they held us. They got us twice in the Super Bowl. But the Jets, man, it was a dogfight every time you played a New York team.
Yeah.
And you knew that.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel the buzz around the city. You could feel the buzz in Foxborough.
Yeah.
You know, you could hear certain things, what people were saying, even though you were trying to ignore shit, especially when social started getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, it was awesome to play for, you know, New England and Boston. I mean, I grew up in Boston pretty much as an adult. You know, I got there at 22.
Right.
I left at 34. You know what I mean? So, like, I know fucking Cape Cod better than I know Lake Tahoe. I know Boston better than I know San Francisco, where I grew up. Like, you know, you become part of the city. You go to the games. You support, you know, the Red Sox. I became friends with, like, Pedroia and Paul Pierce and, you know, Tuca and Sagan, all these guys. Like, we would all hang out and stuff. Yeah. And there's a camaraderie that you definitely feel in that city because there is no college teams.
Yeah.
People out there, they only pros.
That's right.
And that's cool when you're a pro guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, every one of these guys that I reached out to, like the Umbros and the Grushy, you know, the only question they had was just like, is he coming back? Like, come back. We just went like, that's all. I'm like, fuckers. Like, really? That's all you got? And one of them was like, you know, my dad's like, you know, my dad's Jewish and my mom's not. And I'm wondering if he considers himself the most handsome half Jewish athlete. And he was like, cause I think I am. I'm like, dude, it's just, they're fucking worthless, bro. Yeah. They're fucking worthless, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably not going to come back. We'll see.
Yeah,
I heard there's $100 million in the cap next year for the Patriots. We'll see how that paycheck's looking.
Let's go, bro.
And you know, I heard there's a couple rumors that Brady might be going over there. You know, might be going back.
That's what they were saying. He's coming back.
You never know. You know, but I'm content right now with my life. I love being a dad. I love the work that I'm doing right now. I'm on Inside the NFL. I've got a podcast as well, Games with Names. You know, so it's a transition, and I'm hitting those competitive needs through different stuff now. You know, it's not quite football. It never will be football. It never will be, you know, sitting in the locker room with the boys. But you know, I get to go and hang out with, you know, Phil Simms, Ray Lewis,
that's right,
Brandon Marshall, Michael Irvin, and we get to talk ball. So you get that kind of locker room sense with that, but. You know, it's tough, man. I left it all on the field, bro. Like,
you did.
It was, you know, when you can't go out and do fundamental things and things that you've done your whole life, like at the click of your hand anymore, and you have to like get up for it and it becomes work. It's not, you know, not what it was. it's tough, you know, and it hurts you as an athlete when you throw on the film and you're watching a practice and you're like, man, that ain't me. What the fuck is that? Yeah. Like that, I respect the game too much. So,
yeah.
You know, my body's feeling good, but
yeah, that's good.
It's tough.
Yeah. And what do you think? Like, you know, I was thinking about this too the other day. You know, it's like there's something I feel like with you, man. So many people kind of they see themselves in you. I think like this again, this whole like idea of an underdog, and whether you ask for it or not, I think like when we look at people. We look at athletes like, you know, you look at guys like LeBron James or Shaq or fucking, you know, Ray Lewis or whatever. You look at them and you're like, wow, that's this like fucking physical specimen. Like they're almost a different, you know, it's just like a different species of, but like but when you think about it, it's like you're really the anomaly. Like you're real, like guys your size, like that's really what's fucking absolutely extraordinary. And Do you feel that? Do you feel that like people sort of have that root for you in that way and sort of see themselves in you? Like, did you that underdog thing? Like, did you feel the weight of that, or are you just trying to do your thing?
I was trying to do my thing, but you definitely feel that. You know, you would feel the good with it. You know, people like, hey man, and then you would feel sometimes people, you know, try to size you up. You know, you go somewhere and they're like, oh, this guy can do it. I can fucking do it.
Yeah. It's every time I walk in a boxing gym, like, I think I can whoop the Punisher.
Exactly.
Like, part of me is like, all right, fuck
you. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, it goes both ways. But, you know, I never really worried about that. You know, I love that if you can help someone and inspire someone, fuck that's awesome. Because ultimately, you know, that's what carries on. And, you know, you're going to be done doing something. But if you can give knowledge or you can give a story or some inspiration to a kid that like was my age with I needed when I saw, you know, Jerry Rice or when I saw, you know, Doug Flutie, I was a fan of Doug Flutie, undersized quarterback. Like, that's a cool thing about this whole thing. You know what I mean? And especially now that you have your kid, now you're really worried about what your kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's everything.
And, you know, it's awesome when people, you know, it's awesome that people support and relate to you, but you know it. You're just living, bro.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a story.
You know, when you first came in, you had just come from the boxing gym. You're getting into boxing now. We were talking about that. It's something about a boxing gym, and I imagine a football field is similar, especially you know at the elite level that you played at. But you know, in a boxing gym, there's not a lot of shit talking, man. There's not a lot of you know, because the ring's right there. Like, we're going to figure, everybody knows where everybody stands. And there's no reason to be bombastic. There's no reason to do, like, you can just go figure it out, you know? And I think we need a lot more of that.
That, and it's also respect, you know, having respect for people, even if they're different. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. You know, what you come in here with when you go to the gym.
That's right.
It's ultimately about us all trying to improve ourselves.
That's right.
And that's the same thing with football. Everyone has a common goal.
That's right.
You know, what's the common goal? We're going out to win.
That's right.
So you put a lot of shit to the side, and that's where, you know, I think we're a little messed up. We don't have a common goal right now.
I think that's true, man. And I also imagine, like, on your pops' team, like back in the day, you know, I look at my kids. You know, my kids' Pop Warner team. And, you know, there's some kids that come out there. You know, there's kids that are sort of highly skilled and that are all about it. And then there's some kids who, you know, come in the first time they get hit, they're like, look, we're not coming back anymore. And then there's some kids who come in that have two fucking left feet. And they'll never be an athlete as long as they fucking live. And they're fucking out of shape. And they're not meant for it, but they work their fucking ass off. And they don't quit. And I'll tell you, those kids have a bigger effect on the mentality and the culture of that team than the studs. You know what I mean? Like they are about it and they're showing up. I just think that there needs to be more celebration of people like that, of just like good, hardworking people, you know?
I agree. I mean, I remember specifically this kid, Karis, from when we were kids. And he was always this little shy kid. And we were playing Pop Warner, and he was like a shy kid, and he was like that kid with the two left feet. And, yeah. and my bad if you see this and I say you're a two left-footed kid, but,
Karis.
You know, it took him like a year and a half. And then he became like this kid that no one wanted to hit because he wasn't big. He wasn't strong. He didn't really have much skill, but the motherfucker would hit you.
Yeah.
And he didn't care.
Yeah.
And you and there's something when you I sit back and I'm like, man, you respect that guy, man. Yeah, he doesn't care what other people think. He's just going in there doing what he loves, what he learned that he loved, and he's enjoying the game of football, you know, and that's really what it's about.
That's right. And when you came in we were talking about boxing and just in terms of where are you at? Like, what do you think right now about the CTE and with football and football training, especially with kids? Like, if you had a boy, would you have him play football?
Yeah, I would let him play football. I mean, if he wants to play football, he can play football, but he's going to do it properly and he's going to learn how to have the fundamentals of playing the game right.
What does that entail?
You know, keeping your head up, learning how to tackle. You know, not going out like when we were kids, just trying to hit kids in the head. I mean, yeah, it's a dangerous sport. But what are you going to tell a kid that I did? I played this game for a living.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell my kid who probably is going to want to play because I played, he can't play.
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely limit a little bit of certain things, but it would all come down to how he's being coached and how he's playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw something that was unsafe, that repeatedly happened, you know, if he's putting his head down and he's doing stupid things like that, you know, leaving his feet head first and all these, like you could put a little muzzle on that, you know.
Yep.
you gotta choke that down. But I would definitely let my kids play because, you know, they learn a lot. You learn a lot from this game. I love football. You know, football has taught me so much, not just for football, but for life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it brings cultures together.
That's
you know,
right.
You know, I love that about the game. I loved getting to learn other people. I loved, you know, hearing other stories.
Yeah.
And that's what the game is ultimately about. Like, that's what you miss the most about football right now. I mean, I miss going out and balling.
Yeah.
But you miss sitting in the locker room and learning guys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a band of brothers.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And, you know, that you go out, you work hard with. You get motherfucked with by the coaching staff. You sit and you joke around with. You're at the ultimate highs with. You're at the ultimate lows with. You can see a lot from a guy's through competition. You know who they are.
If I who's the guy hit you the hardest? Would you say in your career, like who do you look at as just like the nastiest?
Yeah, Brian Dawkins when he was with Denver. I was a rookie. He lit me up one time. I saw a star for like 3 weeks.
Is that right? how often was that? How often is that you saw stars?
You know, you see him here and there. You know, I had a little problem for a while, and then, you know, they held me out for a couple weeks, and I had to do a bunch of like study stuff, you know, which was all protocol, and you know, they were very caring about the situation. I'm not saying, you know, I'm an advocate of how everything's done. But you know, that happens. It's football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what you signed up for.
Yeah.
And it's not a safe game.
Yeah. But I mean, you were a over the middle type motherfucker. I mean, no joke. I mean, do you feel like,
the game's changed though? I mean, like, I saw it change in like the middle of my career when they started calling these penalties where you can't hit the guys anymore as much. You know, I remember looking at like my last three years of my career, I was like, I had probably 100 catch or 60 catches that I wouldn't have been able to catch in the earlier part of my career when Ed Reed was over there, or, you know, Chancellor was out there hitting you. You know, it's changed, and it's a good job by the league and the rules and the farming systems of Pop Warner and how these kids are being coached now, where you're starting to see results of it's a safer game, especially with the equipment. You know, so, but you old guys, you know, guys that played before me, I mean, you go ask them, you guys get banged up all the time. You see a star, you know, but that was normal.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's
You worry about it? You worry about the trauma your head's been through?
Nah, I don't worry about it. Uh-huh. You know, what's that Point Break line? You die doing something you love, it's not tragedy. Okay. No, you know, like,
but I mean, like when we were talking about boxing earlier,
yeah, no,
right? Like you
could work on things to help your head.
Yeah. But I mean, will you decide to not get in the ring, and like when you feel like you're ready and like go and spar with people, will you not do that because you feel like your head's been through enough?
Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, I'm not going to play with fire.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of studies out there, and you know, I have been hit a lot, and you know, I now got a little 6-year old. Yeah. This isn't my. I don't get paid to go out and box.
But I know.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, and it's yeah. awesome.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I got to think about that little girl.
That's right.
You know, she's gonna be, you know, in 20 years, she's gonna be 26. I want to be able to chase her around.
It's addictive as fuck too, man. It's so hard.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not at that point yet. I'm still raw, bro.
Well, but like the way you were talking about it, that you're hungry and that you're learning, you're going to get there, man. You're like you. And I mean, I don't know, you know, I boxed for a real long time. And then, my best friend, he was 9-0 as a pro fighter. And I was at his wedding and I got hit over the head with an outdoor, they got into a fight with some guys down in Florida. I got hit over the head with an outdoor bar stool from behind. And like gashed up my head real bad, and I got knocked out. And ever since then, you know, I was always like, you know, when I boxed, I was always like sort of take one, give one. Like I didn't
fighter.
Really, yeah, just like, you know, I mean, I wasn't very good. I didn't keep my hands up. I was like, you know, anyway. Ever since then, man, like a chump, like I could get hit in the face, and I mean, black and white, you know, stars the whole way home. You know what I mean? And It's tough. It's like it's because you want to do it so bad and shit. No, ain't fucking people pay me not to box. I know nobody wants to see my fucking ugly ass box, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like you just get addicted to it, and it's
yeah. There's gonna be a time when you get confident enough to do it, but you know it's. I've kind of softened up, you know, and I've had to, you know, because I was, you know, you teeter that crazy line for a long time.
Right. That's right.
You know, and, you know, I remember when I called my dad to retire.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I always kind of need his approval. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my pop, you know, and he could hear it in my voice. You know, he goes, "You finally smartened up."
Wow.
You know what I mean? But, you know, when you start getting older, you're like, you know, you're not as reckless, and you have to be reckless. It's like fighter pilot. You know what I mean? When they retire, when they don't do that shit anymore. I was watching a documentary on this fighter pilot, and they said, you know, you got to teeter that reckless, you know, and when you're not teetering, that's when you got to go.
Gotta go.
You got to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. You still always want to.
Will you coach?
No.
Nah. Would you be a good coach?
I could, I mean, I know the game.
Yeah.
I know the game. It's just those coaches, they don't have any lives. You know, like I would put in 12, 13 hours a day when I was playing. Those guys put in like 18.
Yeah.
You know, when you're leaving work, you're watching them talk to their kids in the parking lot because they have like a 15 minute break.
Wow.
And I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've given my life to the game, and I love everything about, I love football. I love talking about football.
Yeah.
You know, I can get that niche there and, you know, mentor guys hit me up all the time. You know, you can give them knowledge and do that and go work out with guys and give your knowledge. But you know, those coaches, they work their fucking asses off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I respect what they do and their sacrifice and their love for the game because, you know, if I'm not doing it, I'm not, you know, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'd rather do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to talk to someone about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different world, those coaches. They put a lot of time in that stuff.
Yeah.
And especially where I was at, you know, and then you go somewhere else and you're not necessarily on that same standard. Then I wouldn't be able to sleep because I knew this is what they used to do where I was, you know, where I play and going home at 5:00. What the fuck is this?
You know what I mean?
Psychologically, I can't handle coaching.
Yeah.
Can't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And when you do like inside the end, when you like go on set and you do that, is that, do you get nervous before you do
Hell
it?
Hell
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like what's that? What has that experience been like for you?
It, dude.
I met Brandon. I met him like a couple weeks ago. Great fucking guy.
He's good on TV.
Yeah.
He's comfortable. Yeah. I mean, he's been on for 10 years now.
Right.
You know, but they don't, I mean, I was surprised. They didn't teach, they didn't really tell you shit. You know, they just say, hey, go be you.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to perform. Yeah. I mean, it's like a game.
Yeah.
When that light's shining.
Straight up.
You know, you have that accountability factor of the other guys, too.
You can fucking fail.
Yes.
Like that, there's a clear possibility of failing.
And you don't want to, and it goes to that, like, the team thing. Like, right. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't know the fucking play. Right. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't do his job. Right. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't know his take.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have all those factors and what you felt when you were playing the game. And I think that's just the way I'm wired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You get nervous when you care about shit, you know, and you care about your, you know, what you have to do and what you're being paid to do, you know? So I always try to give my all. And anytime you do that, you know, you get, I get nervous still. You know, I'm a lot more comfortable now and that I know the, you know, the setting more and I know the routine and, you know, the people, you get a lot more comfortable. But I remember, I mean, it took me 8 weeks my first year to get comfortable, man.
Yeah.
Like 8-9 weeks. Still, sometimes if I, you know, I have all my notes and stuff and you have what you're going to say, but, you know, you got to go out and do it. And when that, you got that shot clock and shit, it's a different world.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun, man. And that's why I like it, because I'm stepping outside of my box.
Yep, yep.
You know what I mean? So that's what life's really about, man. It's gotta feel uncomfortable, because when you're uncomfortable, you grow.
That's right.
I mean, that's the theme of this podcast right now. Fuck you know,
that's true.
That uncomfort area.
That's right.
Yeah. So I like it.
That's right.
It's cool right now.
Yeah, that's good, man. I really appreciate you doing this, man.
Oh,
it's
man,
it's fucking great. You is there anything else that I was just say? Is there anything you have for me, or is there anything else that you wanna talk about?
Well, I mean, it's pretty crazy that you were talking about your memory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to work that. You know, you always think of because I worked with a couple acting coaches and stuff. You know, and the biggest thing for me is fucking, I don't know how to remember lines.
Is
know?
It?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I get so nervous and I'm talking with Kyler, my guy. I'm like, you know, I don't, because it goes back to I don't want to be the person that doesn't know fucking line.
Doesn't fuck up. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's just like, you know, that's what I was saying before, like what you were saying about practice. It really resonated with me, man. It's like, you know, when I first started, like when I got out of school and I came, you know, I was in New York and I was out here, you know, I was trying to get on fucking like soap operas and, you know, there were all those like WB shows and shit.
Yeah.
And like, I've broken my nose 14 times. I got ears. I like look like a fucking mongrel. Like I'd go into these fucking auditions and it was like all these handsome motherfuckers and me. And like, you could feel motherfuckers being like the fuck is that? Like, what are you doing in here? You know? And I felt like, fuck, man, like I can't. And I'd done all this shit on stage. I'd been in Russia. Like I'd done acrobatics. I'd done, like, once I decided I was going to be an actor, I was like, I'm going to outwork fucking everyone. Like,
yeah.
I will go to fucking all ends just to make sure I outwork everyone. And it's the only thing that I kind of felt that I could fall back onto. And I never really had, I never, you know, when you're starting out as an actor, it's like, I always looked at it athletically. It's like, how can I compete? How can I get into a place where I can show what I can do? Like, I remember, you know, your pops talking about, I'm like, yeah, you're going to fucking play quarterback in college. Keep doing, like, the ball's in your hand. Like, you can show what you can fucking do with the ball. And the thing is that, like, for an actor, you know, it's really hard to get yourself into a situation where you can actually be seen. And I think so many people kind of come to this town and all they try to do is they try to get the agent or they try to get in the room.
Everyone wants to be famous without doing the work.
That's right, dude. Yeah, nobody knows what to do. It's like
the football players now.
Yeah, dude. It's like nobody knows what are you going to do when you get the opportunity, motherfucker? Like, stop figuring out how to get the opportunity. Figure out what the fuck you're going to do when you get it.
I get it.
And so, like, for me, it was like, with the you know, the memorization shit, it's like, you know, because we talk about, you used to live on Driftwood, right? Yeah. And so it's like the nautical streets, yeah. like Anchorage, Buccaneer, Catamaran, Driftwood, goes all the way up to fucking Zonal to Z. So like anytime I can find anything that I can try to memorize, it's like me and this fucking crazy Dennis over there, dude. He's like a genuine crazy motherfucker, right? But like we talk about all the time, like circles of attention, right? Like you do these things, like these exercises where, you know, like, you know, like you just all of a sudden you shut your eyes and you've got to say what everybody in the room is wearing, like how many lights are in here, like constantly try to take things in, because if you do have an absolute handle on, I mean, like your lines is like, that's the easy part. Yeah. But like, if you're playing a soldier, it's like, how do you know that gun so well? Like if you're playing a tennis coach, if you're playing a football player, it's like, you've done so much work training with football players, understanding that thing, that when the camera goes on, that's the last thing you got to worry about.
It's preparation.
You know? Preparation, man. So it's like,
and also what I just took from that, you know, acting is the only thing I could fall back on.
That's right.
And that's what I felt was with football.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to be a fucking parts boy at my dad's fucking shop. You know, like it was football or nothing. And that's like that cornered animal mentality where you can't be half in this shit.
That's right. You know, but even when the universe was telling you, because the universe was kind of telling you, look, man, you're not getting offers. You're not getting fucking that. You still were like, it's football or nothing. Like I'm going
on. That's the passion. That's when the passion comes in.
That's right.
You know, and self, you always have a self-confidence as well. You still, you know, when you're confident and you feel like you could do something, I think that can bring you a long distance.
And how do you gauge success? Because I feel like one thing that like a guy told me when I was in acting school that really resonated with me is, he's like, you know, a lot of people fuck around and they get so, and I imagine this is true in sports too. It's like you get on a rec team or you get on your junior high team, your high school team. And it's like so many people, like I go out to a basketball court down there in Venice Beach, right? Okay, on this basketball court, fuck, I'm the best player here. All right, fine. Maybe I'm not as good as that dude, but I'm better than that dude. And you're constantly like comparing yourself to the people around you. And this guy was like, you need to stop that shit. Like that's a loser's game. Like don't do that. Like find... as an artist, like find some piece of perfection, like whether it's one play Jordan had, or whether it's like one guitar riff Jerry Garcia had, or like one scene fucking De Niro had, and constantly only compare yourself to that. You're always going to fail, but you got to go for that. You got to go for that. And I'm wondering, like, what was your mindset? Like when you go to Kent State, are you like, I'm the best? Like I just, cause there's also real practicality in being like, I got to beat out this quarterback. You said he was like, that dude's like a big dude, and like you know, like how did you do that?
I always felt like I you know, I knew the game pretty well, and I was a confident kid. You know, I went in there, I looked for the biggest guy, I was gonna go hit him right in his face. You know what I mean? That kind of kid.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I went there, like I may not, like I he may have threw better than me, but he didn't. I didn't think so.
Right.
Fuck you. Know, and then also I had, you know, the X factor. I had legs. I could run, and I had things that maybe it is like that. You know, I knew that my legs were always there. I had that one thing that I could hold on to that made it an equal factor to everyone else or better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so maybe that was it. But like once, if I was, when I went to Kent, man, like, I just had a chip. Like I felt like an outsider. I was the only kid from California. Everyone's from the Midwest.
That's a crazy. I was just at my wife's family's from Pittsburgh, you know, the Angles. Yeah. And we just went by Kent State. I took my son, we went hunting, and with like that's out there, bro.
Out there.
Fuck, dude.
It was out, dude. It was a great experience though, man. Like the one thing that stuck out to me when I first got there, I was like, I couldn't imagine. I didn't realize there were so many American-made cars driven everywhere there. It's fucking literally the heart of America. There's only white and black people.
Yeah, that's right.
Like my clique in high school, we had like a Tongan kid, an Asian kid, a black kid, two nerdy white kids. Like, I went out there, there's only white and black people. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Where's the Mexicans? Yeah, I mean, you got no Mexicans here, no Mexican food?
None.
So it was cool to like experience that.
Yeah.
You know, just because it gives you like, all right, this is why people, in this area think this way a
that's
little
right.
more.
That's right.
You know, and that's right. That's why people think this way that's over right. here. So like experiencing other things.
That's
man.
Right.
It was. It,
and
I
don't judge
it.
The way they judge, man. It's like now you're rubbing elbows with them. You see the beauty. You see the good and the bad.
It was a fun experience, man. It just. That was the one thing that stuck out to me. I was like, damn, everyone drives American cars out here. You know, out here you see a fucking Toyota every 2 seconds, a Prius, this,
right,
that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it was just, it's just getting outside that box, man. And I believe everything happens for a reason, you know, legit. You know, all the things that have happened in my life, the greats and the shitty shit.
Yep.
Like it happened for a reason. And, you know, I loved going to Ohio and, you know, meeting people and having the relationships I had out there, still have out there. You know, it was fun, man. It was cool spot to go, especially it opened up my eyes.
I bet.
You know, it's different everywhere in this country. And then I go to Boston, it's even fucking it's crazy. Yeah, you know, people are kind of nice in Ohio. You go to Boston, it's fucking cold out there. People are pissed off. They got a lawn chair in front of their house. Yeah, you can't park there. I didn't know that. You're like, you know, in the snow. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Where did you live in Boston?
I lived in Foxborough for six, or I lived in Plainville for a year. Uh-huh. And then I went to Foxborough. I was there for like 5 years. And then I lived in the Back Bay.
Yeah.
That must
have been fucking insane, dude.
It was fun. But I didn't, like, during the season, bro, I was from sun up to sundown. I'm at the facility.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't really, you know, when I was younger, you'd go out and you do stuff. But, like, by the time it was, like, year three, everything was about ball. Like, you didn't even get to experience it. Like, you'd go to a Celtics game. You'd go to a couple of those things. But, like, the 7 years of end of my career, like, it was just, like, I was at my house or I was at the facility.
Yeah, you're on a mission.
You're a mercenary.
Yeah.
You know, and first 3 years, I didn't even have furniture in my goddamn place. I didn't think I was going to be there. You know what I mean? So, it's just, that's what it was, man. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of great people out there, too. And it's cool to learn them as well.
I bet.
And I am one of them. Like, people don't know me as, everyone thinks I'm from Boston now. From New England, anywhere I go, hey, fuck you. I go to New York every week, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
All the construction workers, the fucking cops, the firemen, you know, fuck the Pats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's awesome.
I love it, dude. I love it.
Oh,
yeah. Dude, I really appreciate you doing this, man.
I had a blast,
one of a kind, bro. Yeah, seriously.
Amen. Fuck it. Thank you, man.